Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I am Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Oh my, it is a rich, rich time to go to the theater, is it not?
There's generally two really, I want to say, robust times. One of them is at least two really heavy months out of the summer, and then like it seems to bleed into the surrounding months a little bit further every year. And then you've also got what I guess is considered holidays, even though I guess holidays are spread throughout the year. Why is Valentine's Day not considered holiday?
However, Rebel Wilson, the trailer for a Rebel Wilson Valentine's picture is hilarious. I will go and see this stupid movie even if it's only as good as the trailer. Even if it's just, that's all I laugh at. It's that funny. Okay.
Now, I'm going to remind you, you and I have, we've even reviewed films that had everything in the trailer.
I know, but it looked, no.
Listen, I'm just, the guy putting together, the editor for those previews, he or she is doing their job really well.
Really well.
Because they may have just convinced you to watch a stinker.
I know.
I mean, it could be Citizen Kane.
Or not.
Probably not.
I think, first of all, I don't remember what it's called, but I think what happens is she's Rebel Wilson. And she's kind of...
I think that's the premise of every film she's in.
And she's kind of meek and stuff, and she gets hit on the head, and all of a sudden has all the confidence in the world.
So that, it's kind of like What Women Want, but instead of being able to read women's minds, you have confidence?
Yes, and all of a sudden, because she's a little on the fluffy side, all of a sudden that's not a problem, because she realizes she is attractive, and she can do this work, and she... And it appears to be hilarious. As long as she says, crushed it, it'll be worth it for me.
Do we know anybody else involved in it?
Producers, but I forgot.
Directors,
I don't remember.
Writers, persons?
I'll look into it.
Fair enough.
I don't even remember the name of it.
Well, touche. Touche.
But anyway, so let us talk first about Ralph Rex...
The internet. Yes.
Did he wreck the internet? Because that has made a gajillion dollars.
I don't want to get into like extensive detail on it.
Because
Ralph, let me just say, like, there's some severe hiccup in the internet, and Ralph is directly involved. I don't want to say how. Don't want to say exactly why. That'll give you pretty much the third act of the movie. But I'm just gonna tell you, like, Wreck-It Ralph lives up to his name.
Now, from what I've seen in the trailer, the story is they go to the internet to see other gaming people because people are gaming online. Is that it?
Well, Vanellope, her arcade game is broken, and they have just recently got Wi-Fi at the little arcade that they exist in. As they understand it, they hear some of the customers talking about a thing called eBay. And they're like, well, if we go to eBay, whatever that place is that they're talking about it, we can go and get the steering wheel that got broke. We can fix her game. They won't get rid of the game. Vanellope, like, can get back to her stuff. Because otherwise, like, all of her and the people from, I think it's not Candy Crush, it's Kart.
I don't know.
It's the Mario Kart, like, stand-in that she exists in, they won't all be homeless. And that's Ralph's best friend, so he wants to help her. So they set out to go to eBay. And, of course, things go awry.
Or even awry.
I'm just saying, it don't go well. It don't go direct because...
So, is this an eBay-produced film, like a Netflix original?
I don't think that they are necessarily directly because, I mean, you have Twitter is name-dropped in it, Google is name-dropped. Like, there's not stand-ins for these. They're the actual product or the mainstream, however you want to look at that, like there, it's not like Schmoogle. It's actually Google.
I wish there was a Schmoogle.
Right. Like that was the best name I could come up with in 4 seconds. So,
oh yeah, I Schmoogled myself today. I mean, that'd be hilarious.
That doesn't sound. I Schmoogled my connector gazoink.
Is it Sugar Rush?
Sugar Rush. That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I'm diabetic. That's why I couldn't think of it.
Exactly. Okay. Now. Is this movie the case, I'll bring up Star Wars. Is it the case that Star Wars fans were so excited that a fourth movie had been made? Everyone and their resurrected relatives went to see A Phantom Menace. So the money was made, but the film was, oh, man. Is it because everyone loved Wreck-It Ralph so much, or is this a good movie?
Wreck-It Ralph was an exceptional movie. Took my son to see it whenever it came out. Like, it, I had a lot of like nostalgic attachment to some of the stuff they were doing because they actually name drop real like Root Beer Tapper, Pac-Man, Street Fighter, and all that. So like I went into this with a like reasonably high like set of expectations, and I was not disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing that Disney does this time around is because they're on the internet, they also make a stop off at Disney.com.
Of course.
And Disney takes a lot of shots at itself to great comedic effect. And
nice.
I'm sure that you have seen some of this in the
princesses.
Yes,
yeah.
The princesses, Star Wars are there. The late Stan Lee even makes a cameo,
mm-hmm.
like within the context. And like it's, the movie has a lot, the same amount of fun you were having at like when Ralph's talking to like Q-Bert about having a rough day, like in the mm-hmm. previous one, except this time, instead of just being relegated to classic video game, like arcade or video game characters, basically like you've got the entirety of the internet
mm-hmm.
that they can kind of lampoon. Vanellope finds a game that more or less is a stand-in for Grand Theft Auto, and she loves it. So, I mean, like, picture, if you will, like Princess Toadstool in Mario Kart finding her way into the Grand Theft Auto universe and just being like, oh my goodness, where you been all my life?
I would want to play that.
Like, there's just, I'm saying, like, it takes its excellent premise. Like there's a lot of comic gold to be mined there. I don't know that you've got all of the creative talent involved from the mm-hmm. first one, but the film very much capitalizes on the comic possibilities that its premise sets up.
The fact that Sarah Silverman is starring in a Disney film again amuses me to no end.
The gentleman that did the soundtrack for Little Mermaid, whose name is leaving, did almost all of your Disney musicals
mm-hmm.
back in the day.
Like, I want to say Alan Menken.
Alan Menken, yes. Menken? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He actually does some songs for, I like, they sound just like Disney Renaissance
yeah.
songs because they're done by, like, yeah. I think he did the Aladdin soundtrack, like, I want to say Pocahontas, Beauty and the Beast, like, from...
He's written a few hits.
I'm just, like, and he's written more than a couple, like, Disney princes. All of your favorite Disney songs, I think he did The Lion King with Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, like, this guy is about as born and bred Disney as you can get without having the last name Disney. And he does some, I don't want to spoil it because it's a fantastic bit that they walk into, but the Disney music in this is legitimate Disney music.
That's nice.
Like, it's like if you had E.T. cameo in your movie and Steven Spielberg guest directed that scene for you.
Nice.
Like, just like I said, they take full advantage of the fact that, like, they can make fun of Disney, they can make fun of video games, they can make fun of, like, different tropes on the internet. Like, at one point, like, one of the spam, like, click me's start talking to Ralph. Apparently, Ralph's very susceptible. It's like, click on me and learn that. And he's like, I want to learn about that. And they're like, Ralph, concentrate. You can't do that. Like, just, it is honestly just, it's a sequel done right. I don't know that it's better than the original, because the Disney really knocked one out of the park with that. Like, to be a non-Pixar Disney movie, which mm-hmm. for a while there didn't have the pedigree that the Pixar movies did, Wreck-It Ralph is one of Disney's better animated features, period.
And from what I've read, this one is the first made-for-the-theater sequel to be a success in 28 years.
It's
made-for-the-theater sequel.
Well, I'm trying to Disney honestly hasn't done, like, Pixar has,
yeah.
like, to great success. But I want to say the last time Disney did one was maybe Rescuers Down Under.
And
is that right?
Yeah, it was, and that was not.
No,
well,
that's the reason why they stopped doing. Yeah. That's the reason why you just forever didn't see any kind. Toy Story 2 was originally supposed to be
straight to video.
Right.
What
but
do we call that now? Did it? It's not straight to video. It's straight to.
I think it's direct to digital. Okay. Like, or
Be
maybe
Kind Rewind
or direct to disc. Maybe. But like the thing about what kicked Toy Story 2 out of that. Tom Hanks read the script and loved it. Tim Allen read the script and loved it. And they were like, both like, we'll do it. And they're like, wait, why are we putting this thing? We have Tom Hanks and Tim. We have the entire cast of the original.
Yeah.
And then, I guess then like Lasseter was just like, yeah, okay, well, I'll do it too.
All right. Okay.
And then they made a bajillion dollars.
Yeah. Good times there. Now, the children saw it, I assume?
Yes. This was a family
and
affair.
And I assume they were incredibly entertained, entranced, and just filled with
everyone
joy.
In the family was entertained. Mm-hmm. Like I deeply appreciated the classic like video game, like because your parents of kind of the 5 to 9 year old crowd are going to be that generation that grew up playing like Atari, like original Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So they're going to get something out of this. It's a Disney animated feature, so. Obviously, like, kids are going to be entertained by it. Star Wars, Marvel makes a little bit of an appearance. So, like, you've got kind of that tween audience to, like, teen audience. Honestly, this movie has something everybody is going to find personally amusing.
Mm-hmm.
I definitively, like, recommend this for families. Like, it's one of the best things they have in the theater right now.
And much like what are those stupid movies? It's a car that Transformers. Much like Transformers, but in a different way. I'm sure this is going to do well globally because they can dub over in whatever language.
Yeah, well, so, Disney's strength is that they know how to globally brand a product so that like it's not just going to play like well domestically. Like they understand that this thing. If you want to make a movie that makes $1.5 billion, like you're not going to do that in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Like realistically, unless you're James Cameron making a movie, you're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Disney has stumbled a little bit with their Star Wars in that like they're only making like $1.5 billion when they think they were capable of doing like $2.2 billion, which you know you got to take the
failures.
What are
the numbers
on
Solo right now? Is it in the billions?
No, Solo. I think topped out somewhere in the 600 million.
So I mean, what a shame
for a Star Wars movie is an underperformer
for an Adam Sandler
for
movie.
For literally anybody else, mm-hmm. like except maybe a Marvel film that they'll take it.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I think like you've got like when Amazing Spider-Man 2 only did $700 million worldwide, Sony's like, whoa, slow down. And I'm just like, wait, what? That you almost tripled your budget, mm-hmm. and you're just like, no, this puppy ain't doing what we want it to. I was like, what's your barometer for success?
Exactly. Like, and we'd like to say again, Solo's not a bad movie.
No, go get your 4K, go get your Blu-ray. Yeah. Go download it on digital right now.
Yeah.
Like it is not time wasted.
No.
It just isn't.
No. Now, you are in love with the movie so much that you have chosen to see it twice, and I'll bet you're going to go again if you can.
If I can find like if there was not so much like overtime being offered to me right now and just you know, family wants to spend time with you too.
Whatever.
So you gotta, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. Creed 2. Like, I saw two sequels last week and I saw Creed earlier again today. Wow. Like, Rocky is one of the most consistent franchises, like, in the history of cinema. Like, somebody's going to say Rocky 5, and I'll grant you, Rocky 5 compared to, say, Rocky 3.
And I'll counter with, there's a Rocky 5?
There's a Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Rocky Balboa, Creed, mm-hmm. and Creed 2.
Here is my Rocky knowledge. Rocky, the first one,
right.
Rocky, is brilliant.
It is.
And worth every award it won. It is so great on
it's
so many levels.
Its director even remade the movie later when he made Karate Kid, essentially.
It is a great, great movie. If you have not seen Rocky, when did that come out? 78, maybe?
It was 78 or 79. Yeah. I know it was late 70s.
What a great movie.
Like, it's the one that propelled Sylvester Stallone, basically, like, to stardom. He wrote the script for it. They kept trying to purchase it from him, and, like, they were throwing some big numbers, like, $500,000. And, like, this is $500,000 in the late 70s. Like, I'm not sure what that is adjusted for inflation, but it's more than $500,000. Like,
yes.
Sylvester Stallone could have walked away with a fat, fat check from this. Mm-hmm. But I think he understood what he had and agreed to sell it only on the caveat that he be allowed to star in the movie. And, like, Stallone is eating, like, the equivalent of ramen noodles, like, and cardboard at this point. So, like, it's not like he's like, well, you know, we'll wait around till the ship comes in. Mm-hmm. I'm still good. Like, Stallone is, I mean, he is basically starving at this point. But I think it's MGM ends up doing it. And they're like, fine, you can star. You're only getting this much for your screenplay now. And we're going to pay you in potatoes.
Like, so how many Oscars did it win?
Sylvester Stallone was up for Best Actor. I believe he was up for Best Screenplay. I want to say the director was up for Best Director. Mm-hmm. It was up for Best Picture.
It won Best Picture or Screenplay. It won something.
I believe it won.
Oh, I could Google it.
I think it's Screenplay. The song, I believe. Like the score, I believe, was up. Yeah. Like it ends up just becoming this huge thing that MGM was like almost angry that they had, because they wanted to probably give it to like Robert De Niro or somebody else. But this movie catapults Sylvester Stallone into like the limelight.
Right.
Eventually, it leads to him doing Rambo. It leads to all of the Rocky sequels. It leads to Tango and Cat. Like, this is the movie that gave you Sylvester Stallone. The first movie really is just, it's this just quintessential underdog story.
And he eats raw eggs. And for some reason, that scene has always stuck in my head, the raw eggs.
The first one you really can't, like, it's just, it's an exceptional movie.
Yeah.
Now, the sequels.
So here, I want you to know, this is how I think of the sequels. So there's the first one. Then there's the one with Apollo Creed.
Really, almost all the rest of them.
This is my mind.
Okay.
And then there's the one with Brigitte Nielsen and the Russian guy. And then there were others.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong about any of the things that you said.
But what I know
I saw. A lot of specificity, but.
And at some point, Burgess Meredith actually dies.
A lot of this is out of order, but yeah, you're getting all of the high points correct.
And that's really all I have.
Rocky II is essentially a remake of the first one. He does, it's a rematch between Apollo and Rocky.
So let's explore why we would get to Creed II and who Apollo Creed is to those who have no idea.
Well, Rocky IV is basically what this movie is taking its largest springboard off of.
Okay.
Which is funny because Rocky IV is almost a parody of Rocky. Like, it is just so amped up on, like, Russia versus America. Because keep in mind, this was 87 or 86. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Cold War is very much on people's minds. Ivan Drago is about a step away from being like Snidely Whiplash. And like, I'm not bashing this movie, but like, compared to this grounded, like,
stereotypes
Oscar winning take of the first Rocky, by the time you get to four, like, it's almost a cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Natasha and everything.
You have got, and like, you have some really good dramatic beats, but I mean, like I said, like, it's very, and like, when I say on steroids, one of the characters I believe is actually on steroids in the movie. It's just, it's not that grounded realism that you kind of had.
It's not gritty.
No, there's no grit in four. But like, the basic takeaway that you need from that, Rocky is being challenged by Drago. And for whatever reason, he's not fighting. So Apollo wants to do this exhibition match against this guy. Apollo Creed is the former champ. Like, I want to say they're doing it for charity or something like that. Like, it's just a lot of pomp and arrogance and spectacle. Mm-hmm. Like, Rocky, I believe, trains Apollo, like, for that one. But, like, he didn't, it's not training like Rocky III training. Mm-hmm. Like, this...
There aren't five montages, maybe just one or
no,
two.
No, there's like maybe half a montage in this one. And like James Brown like is doing the song that lets Apollo come into the ring.
Oh, that's he's right, Living dressed, in America.
He's dressed as Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Like when he comes up, like this is just, this is all the bombast. Apollo was not thinking about this match. Again, it's just, it's a little exhibition thing. Nothing. It's nothing. They want to give like this Russian guy like a little bit of limelight. And like I said, and he's very much portrayed as a one-dimensional villain in this because that's the way Russian, or I guess it was it the Soviet Union at that point?
USSR, yeah.
Okay. And essentially, he just gets in there and he starts playing with the guy. He's just messing with him. Like, it's just a little exhibition. Not a big deal. And Drago starts really fighting him. And, like, this guy, they've shown, like, he is being, like, the doctors are medicating him. Like, he's training with machine. Like, this guy's a killer. Like, he's got, like, no telling how much, like, pound force behind one of his fists. Apollo is still in very good shape. But he is not in the shape he was in say, Rocky I.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's older. He's aging. He's not decrepit by any stretch. But he should not be doing this match, especially against somebody this young and in this kind of shape. And during the match, Drago starts just drilling the former champion. Apollo, afraid of being humiliated by this. A very proud man, a talented man, but a proud man. Rocky tells him, I'm throwing in the towel. And Apollo's like, no. No, you are not. You will not throw in the towel. You have to let me finish this. I'm a fighter. This is what we do. Like, if you throw in the towel on this, like, I mean, it's going to be bad news for Rocky. So Rocky says, okay, fine. I'm not going to throw it in. Apollo goes back in, and Ivan Drago, I don't remember the specifics of it, but Drago kills him in ring. Like, knocks something loose that didn't need to be loose. And Apollo Creed dies in this. Rocky, who his former like arch nemesis, who became his best friend in Rocky III, has now died because of Rocky's inability to act or refusal to act. So Rocky agrees to fight Ivan Drago now because this man has taken his best friend from him, and like he's just not having this. Rocky goes to Russia. He defeats Drago at great personal cost to him. He embarrasses Drago in front of his country. By the time you roll around to Creed 2, Drago is, I mean, he's not penniless, but like... He's,
same actor?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Oh, they get Dolph Lundgren back. Like, everybody is
nice.
Back.
So
like,
what happened? See, I don't even know what happened in Creed. What was the story? So if you want to refresh... First of all, just
Rocky,
watch
Rocky.
Rocky IV and Creed
are what you need to watch.
And then watch Creed, which is, what, a couple years old?
I think it was 2015.
Okay.
So like 3 years old.
So in the story of Creed...
Apollo had an illegitimate son that was... he was in the system. His wife, after his passing, finds out about like this affair that he had with this other woman and this son that Apollo has... that's in the system. She takes him out of it. I believe she adopts him and raises him as her own. Like she even tells, you know, there's a lot of hate that I could have for you, but you don't have anything to do with it. Like you haven't done anything wrong. Like I want to make sure that you are raised like in love.
Mm-hmm.
So Apollo's widow raises this boy like as her own. And eventually like Apollo's son starts showing some prowess in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with those genes, if you've got those Carl Weathers genes or Apollo Creed, however you want to look at it, he starts boxing, starts making a name for himself. Now, he is not using his father's name because he doesn't... Same reason Nicolas Cage didn't use Coppola. Like, he didn't want to...
Same reason Nicolas Cage is not playing Creed's son.
A number of reasons why he does not, but true. More or less, like somebody puts it together that like this is Apollo Creed's son. Like and they want to kind of capitalize on this. Like, you have a former champ son, like, just a great bit of drama, great story. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to see, that's the gist of that one. But he doesn't have a trainer, so he comes to his father's best friend, Rocky. And Rocky meets him with a lot of, listen, I don't do that anymore. Like,
could you please say it as Rocky would?
If you don't mind too much, Adrian.
All right, nicely done.
Rocky remembers that it weighs heavily on him that he feels like he got his best friend mm-hmm. killed. He doesn't want the same thing to happen to his son.
Mm-hmm.
That's your gist of the first one. Rocky kind of becomes a surrogate father to Apollo's son. Like, honestly, I think what they wanted Rocky V to be when he was training Tommy Gunn, but like everything just went wrong in that movie. There's like,
it's kind of like Star Trek V.
It's a handful of things. No, nothing's like Star Trek V. Except I drove up on a dumpster fire once. That's like Star Trek V. But like,
it's, my pain makes me who I am. Okay.
I want my pain. My pain.
Anyway,
that's the gist of Creed. Like, Rocky is now training Apollo Creed's son to great, great success. Like, essentially, it's like you're crossbreeding these two, like, just magnificent horses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got Rocky's know-how with Apollo's just, like, physical prowess. And by the time the second one rolls around, at the very beginning of the film, Adonis Creed, which is his son's name. What a fantastic... I love this family's name.
Who plays Adonis?
Adonis Creed, Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Who, oddly enough, like, got his... like, what he thought was going to be his step into stardom in the much-maligned Fantastic Four from 2015. This guy has recovered from that in the same way George Clooney recovered from Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to judge those two actors based solely on those films, you would think they were just clowns.
And I feel the need to say again, for what I watched Batman and Robin for, I have no complaints.
Fair enough. But others of us went to go see
a Batman movie.
Film. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So,
no.
I mean, we were looking at it through two different prisms. But Adonis has just been made he's the champ. Like, now, he's got the same belt that Rocky used to wear, got the same one that his father.
Does he float like a butterfly or sting like a bee?
Yeah. Like, okay. I don't know for a fact that he's doing all of his own stuff, but he's doing a lot of stuff. If Michael B. Jordan can't actually box, wow, does he look like it when he's mm-hmm. on this camera? Like, he is chiseled, like, his speed, I don't know if they're speeding him up, like, with the camera or something, but, like, this guy looks like he's boxing.
How many jump roping scenes?
I can only think of one.
Okay.
Like, right off the top of my head. Like, there's a lot of running, there's a lot of punching, obviously.
Is there a lot of raw egg eating? I'm hoping.
No, I think they're saving that for the third one,
okay.
I think.
All right.
But...
The way boxers jump rope fascinates me.
Dolph Lundgren has been training, or not Dolph Lundgren.
Does he have a son?
Ivan Drago has a son. Victor Drago.
It's as if I wrote it.
Well, funny enough, I reviewed the first one when it came out for a now defunct site that I wrote for. I did movie reviews for. And jokingly, I said, I can't wait in 3 years for Creed 2, Drago Harder. Like, it was something like that. And essentially, I put the premise together that Apollo Creed's son needs to fight mm-hmm. Ivan Drago's son, who killed his father. I make a big joke about it. Ha, ha, ha.
It happened.
See, and they made it, and wow, is the movie spectacular. Like, I just fell back into that one.
So, without giving anything away, Adonis can make at least a couple more movies if he feels like it.
I mean... honest to goodness, with the, if you will look at what Sylvester Stallone did when he was still the title character in these films, like, the Rocky movies can kind of just continue to self-perpetuate. There is always another person that you can fight. There's, if they can't fight, they can mentor. Like, if you don't want to bring that character back from the past, you can create another character for them to fight. Like, it's just this... endless series of possibilities, and the Rocky series seems to learn from itself. Oh. Like it's like the CPU in Terminator 2. It's a learning computer. Like Creed 2 brings a whole lot of elements from Rocky 5, which many consider to be a failure.
Now, isn't that the one where Burgess Meredith appeared shimmering like Obi-Wan?
He appears kind. Yes, he's a Force ghost in that one, essentially. Okay. Burgess Meredith was not dead in real life, so they have him talking to him in like flashbacks and stuff like that.
So here's the funny thing: I thought I was just making that up.
No, he appears as a Force ghost. Not through the Force, but I mean, you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
There's just a lot. Like now, the street fight at the end of Rocky V, like, is fantastic. Because the other great thing that you set up, all that history you have built up, because after the Drago fight in Rocky IV, Rocky can no longer fight. Like, it's given him, I don't remember the specifics about it, but more or less he has brain damage. And the doctor tells him, if you get back in the ring, you'll die. Somebody hits you in the wrong way, and in boxing, folk gonna hit you.
Mm-hmm.
You will die. And Polly, his sister's, or his wife's brother, has done several bad financial deals, and Rocky's penniless.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rocky V is a downer. Like, it's a hardcore downer. They're telling him, you can't box. So when he sees Ivan Drago again, like, and he hears that Victor Drago wants to challenge Apollo, like, he remembers what happened the last time mm-hmm. the Dragos, the Creeds, and the Balboas got together. Like, his best friend died. I think
I feel like I should name three Dobermans: Drago, Creed, and Balboa.
I think that's a perfect name for them. But I mean, like, the drama that they wring from a movie that, like I said, it's a great movie. It's a spectacular movie, but it's a cartoon in some places. Creed 2 is this very grounded, like, dramatic thing that springboards off of all of that, and does it in this way that is just so dramatically satisfying. I feel like I'm going to get wrapped in the mouth when I say this, because Rocky III is my favorite Rocky. Like, I love the first one. Rocky III is my favorite Rocky movie. Creed II may be my second favorite Rocky movie. Like,
now, in how you're describing it, I'm hearing grit coming back in. Would you say in filmmaking style and being grounded, it is more similar to the original?
I think so, yeah. Like just this He-Man super, like, if you look at the Stallone's transformation in Rambo, the first Rambo, he is this Vietnam vet, like, that is suffering from like some post-traumatic stress issues.
Mm-hmm.
By the second and third one, he's a He-Man nigh like demigod that is unstoppable. Like, just
yes.
Watch. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an inaccurate
description.
So first,
he's the guy with like a tie around his head, and then,
like I said, by the time you get to the second and third Rambos, like, he's basically this superhuman. Like, he's a James Bond, like this army James Bond, more or less. Like,
now, what is Frank Stallone's role in Creed 2?
Frank Stallone actually sings one of the songs in the Rocky movies. I want to mm-hmm. say it's 4.
Probably.
He does not play a part that I'm aware of in Creed 2. But Stallone is not the creative driving force behind these. Like, the first through fifth movies, Stallone wrote all of those. He directed 2, 3, and 4. John G. Avildsen, I believe is his name, directed 1 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Coogler, who ended up directing Black Panther earlier, was it this year? Has it been? I think so.
Wow.
Huh. It feels like a long time. But yeah, from Creed, he ends up doing Black Panther, and that made some money.
Right, a little.
And he also takes Michael B. Jordan from that movie and puts him in as Killmonger.
Yeah, okay.
But like I said, like, if they wanted...
And he was so grossly out of shape in Black Panther.
He really was.
It must have taken a lot of work to get him ready.
He essentially... I mean, it was some Brando.
Yeah.
Like, right there. or not. Like, seriously, this guy looks like he was chiseled from Mount Olympus
now,
in this movie.
Now, picture this. I do believe Sylvester Stallone, I think his only son is a nonverbal autistic, who's probably an adult now, but all the rest of his children are supermodel looking girls that are probably in their 20s
well,
and 30s?
Well, like a couple of those I believe are also like from his marriage with Brigitte Nielsen, who is not a slouch.
Oh, I didn't know they had any kids.
I think I'm not positive on that.
Having just read about Brigitte Nielsen at what, 56, just having another child? Like a couple of months ago?
Who also, by the way, she played Ivan Drago's wife in Rocky IV, also turns up in Creed II.
But this is my point. I don't recall how old his girls with Jennifer Flavin are, and why I should know her name is unknown to me. I've just seen pictures of them, and they all look stunning. Imagine you're the guy asking one of those girls out.
And you're asking Rocky Rambo.
Yes.
Excuse me. You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe I take you out back.
Yeah.
And maybe I beat you like that hanging meat in the first Rocky.
It's like asking one of Schwarzenegger's kids out. It's just, I mean.
I really hope they all have their dad's accent. Oh, yes, you'll do that. Yeah, that will be good. You'll come over to the house.
Schwarzenegger's illegitimate son that he had.
The one that looks
just like him, but like more Tarzan-y.
Oh, like.
Man.
Oh, just looks like they just Xeroxed Schwarzenegger and put him on a baby. Like, just ridiculous. There's no way that kid was not Arnold Schwarzenegger's.
Oh, yeah. And, it would have been hilarious if he'd tried to say it wasn't, but no.
I think he looked and just went, oh,
yeah.
I mean, well, I say all that to say, like, not to comment on them physically, but like Sylvester Stallone's multiple wives and women that he has been involved with, especially during the 80s, were generally considered attractive by the populace.
Yeah, super hotties, yeah.
Most of them being either like supermodels or any of that. So obviously the kids that sprung from that marriage, Sylvester Stallone, who is also like a respectable physical specimen himself, those kids are, they have the advantage in that gene pool.
Yes.
I'm just putting it out there.
And I do not recall what she looks like, but in my mind, and this is just how my mind works, in my mind I am picturing, what is it, Rosa? From Family Guy?
Rosa?
She shows up once in a while.
The maid?
The maid.
Yes. Okay.
In my mind, that's who I'm picturing is the mother to his lookalike.
If it isn't, that is the reality that I choose to believe.
Isn't that? No.
Just Schwarzenegger.
No, Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Come here. Yes.
No.
Yeah. Love on the Terminator.
No.
No love on the Terminator.
That's just how I always pictured.
Well, I defeated the Predator. Come here. Give me the kisses.
No.
No give Predator kisses.
So, there you go. So, Creed 2, go see it. Ralph wrecks the internet.
Ralph breaks the internet.
Yeah. Again, why isn't it?
Wreck-It Ralph, but Ralph breaks the internet.
So confusing. Anyway, go see them. You'll enjoy them.
Just genuinely well-made, like, if you're going to do sequels, these are the way that you do them.
Now, coming up, I just watch it over and over and over again. Deadpool, Fred Savage, it's just.
Once Upon a Deadpool?
It amuses me on so many levels.
The fact that when he goes into it and he's like, no one does childhood wonder like you do, Fred Savage. And he's like, I'm a man! Can it!
I like when he says, like, imagine all the Beatles song were sung, only it's by Creed. So funny.
I mean, now, if you'll look at the promotional materials, though, for Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2, and what the eventual, Disney, if you're listening, and even if you're not, X-Force needs to happen, okay? There needs, for all intents and purposes, it's going to be Deadpool 3. You guys like money, okay? If you can own the rights, if you can be the copyrights holder to Pulp Fiction, you can do a third Deadpool. Like, don't PG-13 it, don't clean it up, like, don't make it animated, like, don't do any of these things. Sometimes it doesn't have to be part a land at one of your parks. They'll tell you, if you want to do Deadpool land,
I would be there.
And just card people to get in, guys, I'm in. I was in because of Star Wars anyways and superhero land, but you want to do Deadpool land or like M-rated Marvel land, guys, I am in like Flint for that.
Deadpool just got me all excited about a superhero. Now, I'm not trying to say I didn't think that Captain America was pretty cool. He's fine. But Deadpool speaks my language.
Quite literally.
And then it just delighted me.
They're the marriage between character and actor. In the same way that when I say Don Vito Corleone or like... The fact that you, when I say Iron Man, you picture Robert Downey Jr., mm-hmm. or when I say Christopher Reeve, you immediately think of Superman. Like, these actors are so perfect in their roles that, like, they're nearly impossible to separate. That Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Like, I don't care how old this man gets. CGI yeah. Deadpool in and let him keep voicing him.
Exactly. And
one of these days, he's not going to look like a Greek god.
I love the way he and Hugh Jackman troll each other.
Oh, it yes. Just, go on Twitter like and just watch it. Just watch.
And I was listening to an Everything Wrong With of The Greatest Showman. I don't know why I didn't think of this. Hugh Jackman starring in The Music Man. How great would that be? Jackman is a Howard Hill.
Before he really kind of came to be known as Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
which, to be fair, he's been known as for quite a while now.
Yes.
Hugh Jackman was like kind of a renowned, like, musical, kind of broad, mm-hmm. in the vein of Broadway, like, actor. If you would have told me, like, if you'll look at, like, that guy who ended up becoming... known as the quintessential Wolverine. Like, whoever has to fill that role after him has some shoes
to fill.
Forget
about it. This is what I want to see. I want to see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, as Howard Hill in The Music Man.
I'm going to counter with saying I want Wolverine in an Avengers movie, but that's neither here nor there. why don't we have both?
Like, okay.
Disney probably owns the rights to Music Man at this point, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, a couple phone calls and they can. You're just going to tell me right now that an Avengers versus X-Men movie headlined by Robert Downey Jr. and Hugh Jackman doesn't make so much money, we eventually have to put their faces on some denomination of bill.
Okay. They'll
just be like, oh, do you have a 25? And I'll be like, oh, you mean the Jackman? Yeah, I got one right here.
Yeah. I also want to see Wolverine versus Edward Scissorhands. We all know Wolverine's going to win.
Well,
but
they own 20th Century Fox, which I'm just saying Disney can make that happen. Disney, you know that song at the beginning of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Which one?
Can take a sunrise?
Yes.
That's Disney now.
Yeah.
The Disney man can.
The Candy man can.
He can sprinkle it with something, make it taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In this case, sprinkle it with money, make whatever you want.
It doesn't matter. So next, are you going to take some of your older kids to see Once Upon a Deadpool? Are they expecting a Christmas movie?
I'm gonna clear it with their mamas first. But like, I want to be a good.
I love
responsible...
how you said that. Like, you have a posse of mamas.
I got to ask they mamas. I want to be a good, responsible, like, dad, but the flip side of me wants all of my boys to always go see every superhero with me.
Right.
And I can't take them to see Deadpool as it is. Like, what will probably happen is I will go see it and make sure that it's a genuinely PG-13 movie and not, like, an almost R, just barely a PG-13
and
movie.
And this is the second Deadpool movie cleaned up a little more, correct?
As I understand it. Right.
But I have a suspicion that there's going to be a nice little bit of business on the front end and a whole lot of funny business on the back end that were not originally associated with the film.
That movie has made enough money that I can see 20th Century Fox or Disney, whoever was kind of pushing the button on that, you're probably going to make it through some auxiliary means if you don't do it in the theatrical release, a DVD release, Blu-ray mm-hmm. release, digital release, whatever. Like they did a 2.5 year anniversary DVD for the first Deadpool after the first one came out. Very much yeah. in the jerks, like 23 and a half year edition, something like that's what it reminded me of when it was like 2.5 year anniversary for Deadpool, and I'm like,
that's nice.
Well, Deadpool can get away with that.
I know.
All right.
Just a huge fan of Deadpool. Okay, so that's coming out. Aquaman, I think it's the 21st, but on the 19th, it's Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird review week right there.
Yeah.
Though, I'll tell you, the reviews for Aquaman are really good so far.
Good.
Like, they haven't got a bulk of them so far, but like the last time I looked, it's tomato score on Rotten Tomato
really
was in the 90s.
Whoa, I did not expect that.
Like, that's Wonder Woman numbers yeah. right there. Like, how strange is it that we potentially live in a world that they can Batman and Superman over at DC in favor of making an Aquaman movie? Like, and what?
I have to say, as a kid, and I know as an adult looking at them, all I can see is that SNL skit. But as a kid, I loved the Aquaman cartoon.
Jason
loved it. Loved it.
Momoa, is that the? Is that correct?
Yes. Have you seen what he's been doing with fan photos?
Is he just putting them in his muscle and crushing
no.
them?
No. If it's a couple, he will grab the female and like push or kick at the
right.
male. And
well,
it's hilarious.
He is 7'2". Like,
he is?
He can't. I don't know if he's 7'2". The man, he's big. Okay, I'm 6 foot. Guy, I guarantee you, he dwarfs me. I'm saying, like, if he wants to do that to The Rock's girlfriend, The Rock might get a little pushback
yeah.
from him. I mean, that's how big this guy is.
I don't care if there is nothing redeeming at all about the Aquaman film. I will love it.
There's a picture floating around on the internet, and it's got two of his, like, I guess, bodyguards
uh-huh.
with him. And more or less, the caption on it says, Jason Momoa's bodyguards look like the mini boss you fight before you get to the big boss in the level. And I'm like, man, they're not wrong. Like, those guys are like 2 heads shorter than him. And like, I'm pretty sure they're about the size of both his biceps. Like,
mm-hmm.
the man, to say nothing of like his acting prowess, is a tremendous physical specimen.
Yes.
Like, Aquaman, for the again, like, maybe we're being fooled by previews.
Yeah.
But the preview's spectacular.
I know. It's so exciting.
I mean, it is just,
it looks like it's going to be amusing.
And I'm kind of in at this point. I will see it. I have to be able to review it. But I didn't ever think I'd be this excited about an Aquaman movie.
I am so excited, which is really all I'm thinking about. Yes, I want to see Mary Poppins. I'm sure it will be lovely, but I'm super excited about Aquaman.
Let me ask you this, though. All right. Julie Andrews is still alive.
Yes.
Why is she not being asked to be Mary frigging Poppins?
Because she had...
I know you're about to mention the thing about
the singing and stuff.
Listen, I don't care. Like, don't make it...
I
don't
her.
Have to have it a musical.
I love her.
It's...
This is what it is.
Harrison Ford is still alive. Why we still haven't found another way to make another movie with him as Han Solo? I understand he died.
Whatever.
At the end of it. But listen, there's Force Ghost, there's laser swords, and there's faster than light travel.
Yeah.
Him being dead seems like a small thing to get past.
Exactly.
When you put it in that context. There's space wizards everywhere in those flipping movies.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me somebody can't wave their wand, do something. There's
but
not a planet.
He didn't wanna.
I guarantee if you back enough trucks full of money up to Harrison Ford's house, he'll just be like, well, fine, I'll put on the vest one more time.
What are you going to do?
All right.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't understand why you would make that a Mary Poppins Returns when Julie Andrews is still capable of acting.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I say, again, another actor or actress that is so associated with a role, like besides The Sound of Music, mm-hmm. when I say Julie Andrews, who else do you think of?
Victor Victoria.
Well, sure, right. After that.
SOB.
I'm just saying like,
yeah.
Why did...
It's just like, you know, the superheroes. They've got a chance to launch another franchise here, is what it boils down to.
Probably.
To people, there are, hard to believe, but I'll bet you there are adults in the world who even are old enough to have jobs and own things who haven't watched Mary Poppins. It's wrong, but they exist.
But you are banking on the nostalgia, the name Mary
yes.
Poppins. And if you know Mary Poppins, you know Julie Andrews.
Of course you do.
Like, you don't know the 90s remake. There's not, like, an animated, there's not a gritty comic book. Like, there's none of that. Julie Andrews is Mary Poppins.
Yes, but you're also forgetting the love the world, myself included, has for Lin-Manuel. Love of the highest order. So that plays into it too, because
he's involved.
Involved.
Yeah. But okay, let me. Just
I don't even know. He rides a bike and looks wondrously at things. I don't even know what his character is.
Probably speaks with a bad British accent.
That like, would be hilarious.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. Oh,
every day's a lovely day with Mary. I'm a chimney sweep, I am, Mary.
I would love that.
It would be,
that'd be awesome.
I actually love that movie, but Dick Van Dyke is doing like,
yeah,
like that's got to be the equivalent of like just an offensive like Scottish like stereotype. Hello, hello, Mary, and like everybody else is actually British, and they're like, what's that idiot doing?
I never thought of it in those terms.
I mean, go back and look at him in that. I mean, Grant, there's dancing cartoon penguins
yeah.
in that movie, so. Whatever. But I'm just saying, like, Dick Van Dyke is laying it on pretty, like, he's just, like a hair away from, like, hey, Boris and Natasha, yeah, we are looking for Moose and Squirrel, yes, yes.
So, to sum up our movie reviews of movies we've seen, that would be Ralph Breaks the Internet and Creed 2, both good movies.
Well worth your time. Like, I mean, honest to goodness, if you're fans of the originals, I would suggest going to the theater. They are quality experiences. Even if you end up paying full price, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to PGS. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.